You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back for our weekly visit with Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent experts on and certainly most prolific contributors to our understanding of what's developing in the Asian front of what I think of as the war for the free world. He is a contributor to the Daily Beast and the author of two extraordinarily important and very prescient books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon Chang, it's so good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Gordon, you have written recently at Forbes about a very troubling axis. I guess George W. Bush coined the phrase axis of evil, but I'd like to get your thoughts on its current manifestations, namely the relationship between Iran, of which we have been speaking a moment ago with Congressman Scott Perry, and North Korea. What exactly, as you read it, is the strategic partnership and the implications of it?
Well, Iran and North Korea have been in a partnership on both nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. This has gone on for about two decades, maybe a little bit more. And currently, Iran pays North Korea, it's estimated, somewhere between $2 and $3 billion a year for their various forms of cooperation. This cooperation probably has continued past the effective date of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, what we know as the Iran nuclear deal. There are indications that Iranian technicians were on site for North Korea's two detonations of atomic devices last year. That's after the October 2015 effective date of the JCPOA. And this is something that we need to look at because various administrations have been incurious about this relationship between Tehran and Pyongyang. Certainly the Obama administration was. The Trump administration, I think, is more interested. And indeed, this would be one reason not to continue certification of the Iran deal, because I don't think we can say at this particular time that Iran has ended its cooperation with the North Koreans over nuclear weapons research.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Gordon, let me switch gears with you. Of course, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, has been prominently involved in, well, it appears, some rather difficult conversations with the President of the United States about how to deal with these two nations. President Trump having been much more hardline, having said to Mr. Tillerson he thinks it's a waste of time to talk to the North Koreans, having said that this JCPOA, as it's called, is not actually in the interests of the United States. Would you talk a little bit about that relationship, Gordon, and the extent to which this is somewhat extraordinary to have such public rifts between the president and, well, at least one, if not several, of his senior subordinates?
Rex Tillerson on North Korea has emphasized diplomacy, while the president has said that that's not the way to go. This is an extraordinary rift, as you say, and it really is up to the president to enforce message discipline, something that's been lacking in this administration. The one thing that I'll say about Tillerson's approach to North Korea is that he's been over-optimistic. And this was really most, I think, graphically highlighted in late August when he said that the North Koreans had not engaged in a provocation since August 5, which was the date of UN Security Council sanctions against North Korea. And he thought that this period showed that the North Koreans were on a pathway to dialogue. Now, at the time, it sounded naive, and indeed it's proved to be that way, because on September 3, the North Koreans detonated what is almost certainly a thermonuclear device. And so the North Koreans humiliated not only Secretary Tillerson, but also the United States, because he does speak for the U.S. So I think that President Trump needs to sort this out. He is the president, and he's got to make sure that his administration speaks with one voice, because North Korea is such a danger, not only to the United States, but to the entire international community.
Now, Gordon, you've studied these things rather closely. Rex Tillerson, at one point, in the midst of one of the more public disagreements with the president, talked about as I recall, three different back channels for communicating with the North Korean regime. Did that surprise you? And what, in your experience, has been the results of such conversations with the North Koreans, for that matter, front channel, but most especially back channel?
The United States has always had back channel discussions with the North Koreans, especially through the North's UN ambassador. I was a bit surprised that they said that there were more than one, and clearly Secretary Tillerson wanted to pursue them. You know, at this point, the channels are okay in the sense that, you know, it doesn't hurt to talk to the North Koreans, but at least on a low-level basis. But I think Secretary Tillerson was much, much too enthusiastic about this as really being a way forward. You know, at this point, I do believe that this crisis should end in diplomacy, but only when the North Koreans realize that they have to disarm, that they have no choice but to surrender their weapons. Right now is way too premature to have any sort of structured formal negotiations or discussions with the North Koreans, because they're going to do what they did during the Bush administration's six-party talks. They're going to use negotiations to buy time, to improve their arsenal of weapons. And so we should not make that mistake again.
Gordon, in our previous conversations, and again, our guest is Gordon Chang, who is these days a columnist for The Daily Beast and the author of The Coming Collapse of China, you've talked to me about the extent to which China is really calling the shots with respect to the North Koreans and how important it is to hold them accountable for doing so and to really disincentivize them from engaging in such behavior. You wrote recently at Forbes about the smart money being on Steve Bannon, who has taken a very hardline view of the Chinese, in very much, I think, that vein especially. What is your reason for thinking that he's got it right and that, in fact, that's where the smart money should be?
Yeah, Steve Bannon, who was once the president's chief strategist, has identified China as America's principal adversary and is the principal danger to the United States. And I think that that's clear across the board, whether we're talking about trade, cyber attacks, or North Korea. And what Bannon wants to do is to make this issue, put this issue front and center during the 2018 elections and, of course, 2020. And that's really important for us because right now China is destabilizing the international system. It wants the U.S. out of Asia. It wants to destabilize the United States and its democracy and attacking our democracy just like the Russians are. We've got to recognize the danger. Bannon sees it, wants to make it an issue, and in this regard, he's absolutely right.
Well, one other dimension of this is the one we've periodically addressed and I've spoken about at length, including last week with Kevin Freeman, and that is the Chinese seeming desire to accelerate the movement towards having the yuan replace the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. We're seeing some of that playing out at the moment in Venezuela, a relatively small-scale player, to be sure. And we'll be talking about that with Louise Fleischman and Russ Dallin in the segments ahead. But Gordon Chang, it does seem to me as though what you've described here, and I think the way Steve Bannon puts it is that China is at war with us, is that we have, in fact, an adversary in China who is very, very happy to have the North Koreans continuing to distract us at best and threaten us at worst, and has not yet made the calculation that they need to reverse that course. I know you'll be following it closely, as will we with your work. Gordon Chang, it's so good to talk with you. I look forward to doing so again next week. Thank you for your time today. Next up, we'll speak with Russ Dallin about developments in Venezuela with the elections over the weekend and more straight ahead.